Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise, I mean, he owned Starbucks and brought it
when it was still a one-shop store in Seattle, Washington, and grew the brand. And he attempted to run, or at least test the waters and fizzle out relatively quickly. But the point I'm trying to make is that typically they don't, you know, persons in that class don't typically run for public office. They prefer to donate money and play wizard behind the curtain, you know, the real power behind the figurehead. In this case, you know, people like Trump and, you know, others that are in the public eye. So, you know, progressives, I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent, have always been, and I typically, you know, if it's a primary that requires you to be registered with a specific party, then obviously I am unable to vote. I have to wait for a primary or an election where it is not party specific. You don't have to be either a Republican or a Democrat. And this makes the case for, you know, a third party very strong. Now, there are plenty of third parties out here. I am a member of the Working Families Party. And I do caucus with the Democrats. I want to be very clear on that. I do a lot of work with the Democratic Party. States where I have an interest, New York and Maryland, but I am not a registered Democrat or Republican, or you know, even registered as Working Family. But the point that I'm trying to make is that this is where a viable third party can make a difference. If there were a viable third party in this country, I doubt that the level of corruption that has seeped into the public eye would be as pronounced as it has become during the Trump administration. There's no doubt about it. The last chip has fallen with the judiciary, and I talk a lot about this, how, you know, you have a lot of inept, bigoted, co-opted, arch-conservative hacks that are being stacked on the federal judiciary. It was already, you know, bad. It didn't enjoy the same level of prestige as it used to, I would say, you know, 20, 30 years ago. You know, you have a guy in Delaware, a black judge, Gregory Skeet. He is the absolute worst because he is compromised. He believes he's all things to, or he's there to promote his career, to protect the interests of white supremacy. I don't know quite. All I do know is that he's very compromised, dishonest, and disingenuous. And, you know, the only reason I mentioned him and not the many others that I've had the misfortune of dealing with is that, you know, this is a black man. And, you know, when we have, I talk about this all the time, when we have blacks like this in positions of authority to address white supremacy, they rarely do it. Now, there's a guy on the D.C. circuit, man, that is making a lot of noise. I can't think of his name right now because I wasn't going to talk about law and order or law at all this morning. But he has made some really, really provocative rulings, you know, on immigration, because D.C. is one of the more highly visible, I would say is the most visible. I mean, if you're a judge, that's, you know, in a federal judge, a judge generally in a federal judge, particularly on Article III court, that is the court that you want to practice in, the D.C. circuit. It's highly visible. The rulings often have nationwide implications, and he is really making a lot of noise. I'm gonna post something on Twitter after I go off air about it, because I have a couple of projects to do today, but I have I have this other project that I was telling you about that I have to do on the Eastern Shore of Maryland sometime this week, and I was waiting for the weather to break. It's been awful. I mean, either it's been cold or it's been overcast or it's been raining, and I don't understand it. Typically around this time, but we're getting ready to head into April. You know, March is usually fairly cold now. Don't get it twisted. February and March are, you know, among the two coldest months, historically, as I recall it, But it hasn't, typically we're well above the 40-degree mark by now, and the work that I have to do is outside. And so I'm not about to go out there and, and be cold and sweaty at the same time, and that's a recipe for becoming ill. And I, at this juncture, I can't become ill. I'm kind of vulnerable, not physically, but, not having, someone like my girl to, hey, you need to get in and warm up or whatever, that sort of thing. So, at any rate, I had a decent weekend. I hope that you did as well. I basically, meditated as I usually do on Sunday and watched some television and did some work, got some work in, very little, because Sunday is supposed to be a day of rest. Meditated a lot and, engaged in social media, which is what I like to do and that sort of thing. But I need to get out more. I had an interesting telephone call on Friday from the Democratic Party, which I just told you I'm engaged in to do some work for them on them. And so I have to present them with some options for a meeting place. Not that I'm formally involved yet. We haven't gotten to that point. Everything that you do, it's a Democratic party, so they adhere to Democratic principles, and so you have to be elected to specific posts before you wield any sort of authority. You can speak formally or officially for them. But at any rate, it's a very interesting conversation, and I look forward to getting more engaged, more involved. I think it's important, and, in my estimation, if you want things to be done or you want to get involved and not just be a keyboard warrior, as I call people, then that's one of the ways to do it. The other way to do it is to get involved in one of the local whatever is your flavor. It might be economic empowerment, which we talk a lot about, not necessarily on my show, but certainly on a marketing pulpit, talk a lot about economic empowerment of African Americans. And, toward that end, there's been a call for reparations, which we've been talking about for at least 30 years. I mean, certainly Conyers has, when he was still in, he passed away. When he was still in the Congress, he raised this issue year after year after year after year, and it didn't go anywhere. But now you have a Congress full of young, bright progressives. Unfortunately, the Senate is still, full of stoogey old white men, so I doubt if it's going to go anywhere there. Nevertheless, we can continue to push the bar because we are owed reparations in this country. I don't care what any Negroes say about we don't deserve it. I don't care. There's a large segment, and I just talked about Gregory Skeet in Delaware, District of Delaware. Another silly Negro. There's a lot of silly Negroes in our community, and we're never going to change it except to call them out and embarrass them, at least until some point they realize that we're not going to allow you to work against the interests of the whole, because you got yours. Now you want me, you don't want to rock the boat and step on any toes. In other words, that read that you don't want to antagonize, you know, white folks. And I could care less about antagonizing. I'm at the juncture in my life, and certainly professionally and personally, where I could care less about antagonizing anyone. Now, I don't do it gratuitously. Don't get it twisted. I don't just go out to insult or instigate, but I do speak my mind, and I will always speak truth to power. And those that are against, like Barack Obama was against reparations, and never really fully explained his opposition to it. And I don't really care. I mean, I liked him on a lot of issues, on a lot, and namely this one, I did not appreciate his position. I think it was wrongheaded. And I think that his, you know, he was colored, no pun intended, by the fact that he was biracial and that he wasn't actually African-American. I mean, if you want to be technical, Barack Obama's father was Nigerian, or Kenyan, I'm sorry. And I forgot the specific tribe in Kenya, or indigenous community, you know, to be politically correct, from which his father derived, and his mother was a white woman. So even though he shared our experiences biographically, he did not have the history. So it stood to reason that he wouldn't actually embrace a reparation. So let's take a break, and you know, let me get my thoughts together and come back on the other side of the break and finish talking about the stunning bar decision not to charge Trump.
Looking for a hit multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mos, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
Welcome back to the Marketing Pulpit International New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shippens. 10:48 a.m. Monday, March 25th, 2019. This month has just flew by. I tell you, I've been going through it, you know, emotionally, obviously, since I lost Roberta in January. And I'm just getting myself together here, you know, getting back to, you know, a sense of normalcy. I'm still struggling, but I'm getting there with the support of, you know, one or two friends. You know, often, you know, and this is something else that I just came into the realization of. You know, I was reaching out to a lot of people, and you know, I think I talked about this on one of my previous shows. You know, people would call and they want to talk about everything, but what I wanted to talk about. I had a guy I kid you not, I it was just stunning. And I thought about it after the conversation, but, you know, I told you that him, I knew him, he married a girl or a woman of a guy that was a friend of mine because we dated two sisters, and this is obviously many, many, many years ago. So, you know, obviously I knew her, and then she, you know, met this guy, and who I had known through a mutual friend, and they got married. So it was like a friends of a friend, and then they got together on their own. I had nothing to do with it, you know, they lived in the same area of Queens, New York, and they got married, and at the time I was, you know, I was toying with the idea of going to grad school, so this is how long ago this was, she was St. Dennis, you know, because at that time we all were. That was my little crew. We were all hanging out, and she was saying, "Yeah, you should come with me." Not come with her literally, but you know, figuratively speaking, to become, you know, a teacher in the New York City system, because at that point, New York City was among the lowest paid. They were among the lowest paid teachers. In a major metro area, I'm not saying in the country. So, you know, I believe they weren't making anything like 30 grand a year. And, you know, in New York City, that's not a livable wage. I mean, literally, you have to make twice that just to keep your head above water. So at the point where she was getting ready to go into the Board of Education, I knew another old woman. I didn't date her, but she was a good friend of mine. Not a good friend, I don't want to say that, but she was a friend of mine. And she also taught at the board. So anyway, long story short, I didn't do it. But the pay scale had changed at that point. So she's been there now. I guess she's almost retiring or getting ready to retire. And this is how long ago it was. Yeah, this is how time flies. And this is what I was telling a friend of mine the other day. I was saying, yeah, man, you know, you got these young kids that squander time like, you know, it's nothing. They don't, you know, they don't want to be involved in anything. And this is why I don't allow people to waste my time, because it's the most valuable thing you have. Once expended, it's gone. You can never get it back. You can never make up for lost time. And you cannot allow people to squander your time. If you find someone that is not on the same page as you, that is not heading in the same direction as you, that does not want to follow lead or get out of the way, you need to extricate yourself rapidly from that situation. It's that simple. So at any rate, I text her in the wake of Roberta's passing, you know, because I was sad, and I told you she was good friends with Reverend Flake, not Floyd Flake, but his wife who runs the ministry now, the Cathedral AME. A large AME church in Queens, southeastern Queens. It is the largest in that area, and the cream de la creme of black society often attend. I didn't attend it for that reason, obviously. I attended it because that was my denomination. I had grown up AME Zion, which is a sister denomination. They joined hands in the mid-70s. And then so it was a natural progression for me to just go over to AME, and at the point where I was toying with the idea of becoming a preacher, I would go to the, they had a very, very, very early service, which I absolutely love, because I don't sleep that late. I mean, if you see me sleep beyond 6:30, 6, I'm sick. It is that simple. If you see Dennis in the bed past 6 or 6:30, and certainly not 7, I am not feeling well, or I'm extremely fatigued. So the cathedral in Queens had a 6 o'clock service, which I often attended. Now, back to, this person that I was talking about. So she texted me back immediately and, you know, was very conciliatory and, you know, offered her condolences and prayers and that sort of thing. And then she said she would call me later on, and did. So for some reason, the call dropped, and when I believe I called back, her husband answered her phone. Now, obviously, I know him, but he's not my friend. I mean, he is. I know him. We have a cordial relationship. I have partied with him the whole nine, so we're cool. Don't get it twisted. So he offers some, you know, I would say perfunctory condolences, and then goes into some stuff that I had in my back. I kid you not, he's talking about what I have in my backyard, man. I was so out of it that I couldn't even summon the energy to hang up, because, you know, and I didn't get annoyed until I thought about the conversation later. But this is how selfish people are. Then I have another buddy who I haven't called back, called me a couple, you know, first, I talked to him, and I was sharing, you know, because I was, you know, those that listen to the show know I was out of it, man, literally. I mean, it was, you know, I wasn't shocked so much as I was about other issues surrounding Roberta's passing that really, really affected me, my mental health. So I was talking to, and this guy is an actual friend, and is a friend, a mutual friend of the guy I was just telling you about. So he calls me up, and no, not calls me. I call him, and I'm talking to him. He blows me off, tells me he has something to do, and he called me back. Never heard back from him. So fast forward, you know, 3-4 weeks, maybe a month or two, and he sends me a picture of him and another friend. Not the same guy, another guy. And I was like, okay. And I didn't even bother to respond. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with this, man? I'm still mourning, and, you know, I could care less, you know. Though I actually had spoken to that guy, and he never called me back. He didn't seem interested, and I just left it alone. So anyway, he calls me two times in a week of that, maybe a week or two later, and then the following week, and I didn't even bother to answer. And, you know, what this has taught me and what I'm learning, the lesson that I'm getting from this, what I want to share with you is that, you know, at a certain season in your life, and this is my season, I really needed to be alone, you know, to process a lot of things that I need to be doing personally and professionally. And I told you this in January or in February, I'm not sure, that I did a show in January because I was having so many problems with Verizon. Well, I probably have a problem with again in April because I don't intend to pay them in advance for service when they owe me 2 months of service after they cut me off and refused to restore service, even though the account was in someone else's name. So that's where I'm at with that, and I oftentimes, you don't need to be around a lot of people, calling people up and this sort of thing. You need to just allow, you know, whatever, you know, moves you spiritually, you need to allow it to move you spiritually, and that's where Dennis is at. So that's where I'm at with that, and still processing what's going on in this country. But I suspect that it's bad. It's really bad. The Democrats, they have one hand tied behind their back because they don't have the Senate, so they can't move it. If they had the Senate, we would already be in the midst of impeachment, trust me. And I believe that's where we need the Democratic National Committee, and they have a committee in the Senate to get more. And we lost a couple of senators. Now, I don't know if those senators, Claire McCaskill and I forgot the other woman's name that we lost in the Senate. I don't know if they would have voted for impeachment. Impeachment is a really uphill battle. I don't believe any president in the history of the United States has ever been successfully impeached and convicted in the Senate. You know, the last impeachment was of course, Clinton and William Jefferson Clinton. And I remember that. And, you know, they didn't want a conviction. So he remained president and went on to a second term, I believe, as a matter of fact. So we're going to talk about that more next week right here on the Market Pulpit in National New York Edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Have a great week.
At war.